Want to cut cooling bills without cutting comfort? Lower utility costs and enjoy cool and consistent comfort with a highly efficient air conditioner from Luxair. With Luxair's consumer rebate program, educators, nurses, first responders, military personnel, and veterans can enjoy exclusive rebates on qualifying purchases of Luxair equipment. To learn more, call Barnes Brothers at 317-207-0778 or barnesindy.com. They'll recommend a system tailored to your home that provides comfort, energy savings, and lasting performance.
This is Trackside with Kurt Cavan and Kevin Lee. Brought to you by Luxair Premium Residential Systems, a smart choice in home comfort. On 93.5 and 107.5, The Fan.
Through turn four for Robert Schwartzman, the rookie at the Indianapolis 500. Down to the yard of bricks and over the line. It's P1 for Robert Schwartzman, and the crowd salute a new Rosenquist now with two corners to go to break the hearts and dreams of Prema Racing and Robert Schwartzman. I've got to be honest, I don't think it's there. I think this is going to be history. For the first time in 43 years, we're going to have a rookie on pole for the Indy 500. Rosenquist across the line, and it's fifth. Robert Schwartzman is on pole as a rookie at the Indianapolis 500 for a team in its first ever season.
Center. Welcome to the 2025 Burger Bash, delivered by Cluster Truck. It's race week for the greatest race in the world, and we are in the shadow of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, coming to you live, which is normally just plausible, but we're outside gate one, so if you're in the Indianapolis area, you can find us at the roundabout, 16th and Georgetown. My name is Kevin Lee, along with Kurt Cavan. Kurt started this event back in 2008. It's bigger and better. We'll talk about that more. We have guests aplenty. We've already had David Malukas from AJ Foyt Racing. We'll bring them all up at the same time because they have things to do, places to be. Being a race car driver is in high demand. We have from Prema Racing, one of the great stories so far, it's Callum Ilott back for a return appearance at the Burger Bash. Also over here somewhere, I saw, where did he go? He is driving the number 6 Junco's Hollinger machine. Connor Daly is here. And the mayor of Hinchtown, one of my co-workers, Fox Sports. Former pole winner, front runner at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, 6-time IndyCar race winner, still active race car driver in IMSA, it's James Hinchcliffe, everybody.
Great job, Hinch.
Hinch was perfect today. Callum, welcome. Come on, step right here. This will be our shared microphone here. It's great to have you back. Thank you for making time for us.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's good to be in the sun and enjoying life. You know?
Since the day started, since qualifying ended, you've already made 2 passes for the race on Sunday. Nice job.
Yeah, 2 important ones. Those were fast cars. I didn't expect to be passing those guys that quickly.
So what's it been like? This year is not new for you, but it's all new for the team, and it's tough. It seems to be going really, really well.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a surprise, I have to say. Yesterday was a big, big surprise for the whole team. It started off a bit slow. I think on Tuesday we didn't get many laps. And then Wednesday, Thursday, we were just focusing on qualifying. And Friday, was where we started to see some real speed. And Saturday for Robert was amazing. For us, not as much, but, you know, it's good for the team.
What would you say?
All right, so what is the difference between what you like and what Schwartzman likes? By him being good, is that ultimately going to help you?
We had a very similar car. Sometimes you just don't have it on the day. Yeah. We didn't quite have the same speed, which is a shame for my side. But, you know, if we can do it with one, I'm sure when we come back next year, we can do it with both. So, yeah, we had a... similar process throughout the week. I just couldn't get it. Couldn't get the speed. Couldn't pull the gears on Saturday.
So that's just one day, though. How was the race car today?
Race car was good. Yeah, it was good. It was the first time we'd done proper race running. So needed a bit of work to start with. But, yeah, I was passing cars, making moves, and that's what I got to do from 21st.
So I was wondering about the makeup of this team. We talked about the inexperience of Prema Racing as a whole. Do you have any sense for percentage? Like, is it 50-50 in terms of the crew members who have been here before and those who have not? Is it greater than that? I know you don't know everyone's resume, but do you have a sense? Are you 50-50 even?
On the mechanics side, I'd say it's close to 50-50. On the engineering side,
it's probably higher.
No.
Oh, it's not
less.
Higher.
We have a... So on Robert's car, actually, was an ex-Penske and Pratt & Miller engineer called Eric, and he actually works for SpaceX, and this is his holiday time.
Yeah, I told that story today.
Yeah,
Eric Likely. It's nice to get a guy that works at SpaceX making your race cars better.
On the engineering side, he's joined us for this month of May, and my engineer, Steve, I worked with back at Honkos. We have Robert Goué, who's been around for a long, long time, who has been a master for us of designing this car, and Ryan Briscoe. And honestly, there's quite a few other engineers who have been sat there who've never been to Indy before. So for the team, it's incredible. I was shocked by the speed that car had, and I think many others were too as well. So it's super impressive for the team. It's great.
Is the game plan in the race, though, understanding that we're still learning, we're still new, if we can run the whole race?
No, it's attack. I mean, you've got to attack.
Awesome.
What's the point of just turning up?
Yeah.
We're not here to just turn up, as you can see.
What's possible?
I don't know. I've come last year. I was last in pit lane before the race started, and I came back to 11th.
Yep.
Year before, I was starting 27th. I finished 12th. Yeah, let's see. I'm starting a bit further forward than that now, hopefully.
What have you had to kind of help Robert with, not only new to this series, but new to America? I'm going to guess he has leaned on you with, what? Why did they do it this way? And what's this like? What does this mean?
For this week, I haven't had to help him.
I mean, in general, throughout the season.
Yeah,
has nothing to do with racing. Just life.
Probably more food and driving standards on the road here and that sort of stuff. Obviously, we've known each other for a long, long time, and I think the U.S. is quite different to what he's used to. We lived in Italy together for a while. He's a good dude, but it's a weird culture for him. I don't know. He enjoys it. He gets on with it, and I think he loves this oval stuff. That was something that I wasn't sure how he'd take to it, and yeah, he's just got on with it and, you know, excelled at it so far.
You just mentioned this microphone's not good.
You mentioned being in Italy together. What was the situation? Tell us about that just a little bit.
We were both in the Ferrari Driver Academy.
Yep.
So I spent 4 years there. He spent five or six. We'd both worked our way up the rankings there. And yeah, spent a lot of time together.
You were buddy up? Buddies did a lot of things together?
To be fair, there was quite a few of us. There was Marcus Armstrong as well. I was actually living with Marcus. Robert was 5 minutes away. Yeah, dinners, training, all that sort of stuff.
All right.
We don't want to hold you any longer. If you've got a minute or two, say hello to some people over here before you take off. Let's root for the number 90. Really cool looking red and green and... Anything on the side pie yet? Are we working on that?
It's red and green and white.
Red and green and white. They're awesome looking cars.
Pizza pasta Italian style. So.
Yeah, and they're pretty quick. Callum Ilott, Prema Racing. Thank you, Callum. Let's bring our next two up together as well. What do you got?
He's here.
Santino is here as well. All right, get in there. Santino Ferrucci, everybody. Real quick, if you want to get Santino, while he's waiting on deck, he's over there. And he has signed one of the canvas prints that'll go up here. You guys have spent a lot of time together, so you can share. It's James Hinchcliffe. It's Connor Daly here with us. Hinch, I'm going to ask you first, because you had a better viewpoint of practice today. What did you see from the booth and on your monitor about what we might see coming up on Sunday?
I like the look of that 76 JHR car, guys. I don't know about you, but
I heard he was happy.
You can get that from the horse's mouth in a second. No, look, I was so excited. We said on the broadcast, I was so excited to see multiple cars on track again.
Yeah.
After Fast Friday, 2 days of qualifying, you get so used to these single car runs when there's 20 cars on track all mixing it up. I'm like, oh, boy, I'm excited for the race again. I mean, you get spoiled during practice having those kind of happy hour runs every day. But, look, there's a couple good cars for sure, a couple teams that I think are probably scratching their heads a little bit right now, but with how close I saw some of these cars able to run, I think when Connor and I were just talking, I think race day might even be even cooler than what we saw today.
Okay.
Cooler conditions, that's better for the racing. So I'm excited, man. I think we're going to have a great race.
What does the driver think? Connor Daly, the AMPM car.
Thank you. Well, I mean, what I think, honestly, today was started a little bit interesting. You know, we run a lot of used tires that we did like a 2 or 3 laps on in qualifying sim. So sometimes, you know, you beat the crap out of those in, you know, high power, low downforce situations. And so we kind of messed around a little bit, but made a couple changes. And I mean, every day I've been in this car, certainly in race trim, it has been, I mean, one of the best cars I've ever had here. So this is like really, really, it's something that we're really just pumped about. But we're obviously, you don't want to get ahead of yourselves. You want to stay focused and just kind of work on things every day. But I mean, we did a long run today that I felt like I felt really strong. So we ran a ton of traffic, obviously running a lot of sketchy situations, a lot of, just good, way better racing, I thought, than was last week. So that was, I would say, encouraging for the event coming up in a few days. I started kind of 18, 20th in line and got all the way to the lead after, you know, 25 laps. So there was a lot of, just a lot of action. And I think we have a really, really good car.
You know, one of my favorite stats is the number 69, and that's how many laps you've led in the Indy 500.
Yep.
You have led as many laps as driver X. Who is that driver X?
Joseph Newgarden.
Yeah.
I've just led the wrong ones.
Well, I think it's important to say that you have led, you have had some really good runs here at the Speedway. They need to be on the last lap. I don't know if you know how the strategy works around here, but the last lap is the important one.
I've heard, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of, go ahead.
Well, no, the funny comparison, like you talk about leading laps. Well, the car that I led the most laps in 2021, this car feels the most like that I've ever had. So that's actually like really encouraging for me. The 2021 car like sucked up so well in the draft and was just a great race car. And this car, no matter where we're at, as long as we have everything dialed in, I mean, I can do anything I want with it. So it's really, really just, you're like, I hope every day, and you're like, gosh, I hope it was like it was yesterday. And the team has been nailing it every single time. So we just have to keep putting the pieces together, not make any mistakes, and just kind of, I mean, we're starting pretty decent as well. So we're in the fight.
Also in the queue, by the way, before we bring him up, the guy who won the poll is over here in the crowd. So if you want to meet young Robert Schwartzman, he's right over here next to Santino Ferrucci. Hey, the Connor Daly burger is for sale here.
Yeah.
And
it's delicious.
It's for a good cause, too, and it's delicious. What does the Connor Daly burger consist of?
Well, we've got a delicious burger patty. You've got some lettuce, tomato. You got some pepper jack cheese, a little bit of bacon, obviously, because everyone loves bacon, and then some grilled mushrooms because we decided to switch it up. Love the mushroom addition, and some barbecue sauce. So a lot of delicious things for everyone out there. I've had at least one or two in my life, and I won't admit to any more than that, but it is very delicious and for a good cause, of course. And Cluster Truck is on my helmet for the Indy 500, so shout out to Cluster Truck as well.
Yeah, thank you to Cluster Truck for donating 20% of all burger proceeds here throughout the month of May, and actually for another week. So if you're listening to this on the podcast on Tuesday, I think it's through the end of the month, 20% of the Connor Daly burger, the Kevin Bowen burger, who is one of the morning hosts at 107.5 The Fan, and IMSA driver Jackson Lee has a burger as well. Via Cluster Truck. They're all available here tonight. You can purchase here. 20% goes to the Cancer Center or online at all the usual outlets. You you guys are younger. How does Cluster Truck work, Connor? Just you order through your phone and so forth?
Yeah, it's the greatest app if you're hungry of all time. I live obviously downtown Indianapolis, so anytime I feel lazy but I'm very hungry, I go to the Cluster Truck app and I can get food within like 15, 20 minutes. So anything that I want.
So
it's amazing.
You have sponsor AM, PM. Are you more AM or PM? When is that burger going to be called?
That's PM. Yeah, yeah. We're a night guy. Yeah. The mornings are tough. Mornings are tough. But I also like to cook my own omelets in the morning, so that's what
awesome.
I like. Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks for coming out. I know you got a lot
going on.
All right, one last question for Hinch before you released.
You never cooked me an omelet when we were living together.
Well, that's because I didn't know how then.
Hinch has just said he's never received an omelet from.
Yeah, we used to live together. Never cooked me an omelet in the morning. I don't know what. This must have been Amy's influence, I think.
I don't think Connor was cooking a lot for himself at that time period either, right?
Maybe. Yeah.
Not a whole lot.
That's fair.
So, what is a scenario where you live with this guy? I mean, who's paying rent?
James Hinchcliffe.
It doesn't matter. Look,
James is Canadian. He's very nice. He let me live there without paying rent. But I did help when he had his little accident.
Yeah, exactly right. He paid.
Little accident.
It was payment in kind. He was my live-in nurse for a while.
That's
so he's got a spot at my place any day.
Hinch, do you have a sense of what's going to happen yet on Sunday? Have you seen enough to know who was the favorite and two of the really fast cars and maybe the one guy who is on everybody's top three or four is now starting in the last row?
Well, that's just it, Kevin.
Thank you, Connor. Connor Daly, everybody.
Thank you.
Look for the 76 Junkos Hollinger, the AMPM Chevrolet.
I think your point's great. I mean, we got some people out of place. You know, I think qualifying turned out a little bit differently than we were expecting. Some stuff on track, some stuff off track. But that means we might have some drivers out of position. And, you know, what I love is what Connor's saying, that if you were talking to these guys on Wednesday, even Thursday, in race running, they're saying, yeah, it's kind of hard to pass. The cars are a little more difficult this year with that hybrid system, the extra weight in the back. But today looked way racier than what we've seen so far this week. Stingray Rob will tell you about it in a second. But
Stingray Rob over stage right. Go over and meet Stingray.
So I'm really excited because, again, if it's cooler even still on race day, that's going to just help the racing. We've got drivers out of position. I think we're in store for a really, really exciting 500.
I think the Andretti's feel good, and they're starting mid-pack. Kirkwood's car is good. I talked to Marcus. He's got a decent starting position. The best. He feels good.
Here's the thing. I think too many guys felt good after today.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see how many feel as good after carb day because, you know, that's closest to the race, closest conditions normally. So we'll see how everybody's feeling then. But if we have a lot of drivers feeling good, that's good for us, guys. That means we're going to see a good race, nice close racing. And I'm going to say this in the nicest way possible, understanding the implications of what I'm saying, but understanding that I mean it in the best way.
We got it.
I hope we see more than one yellow on lap one. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, we need a bit of a race. We need some strategy mix-ups, but ultimately,
restarts are good.
We got a 5, 6, 7 stop race, whatever it's going to be. I think we got a good race in store.
So you and I have done the heavy lifting in May on the television broadcast for a few years, so we are somewhat used to this, and I noticed someone else counted up. We've had 39 hours of coverage so far, and we're not done yet. How's Townsend doing?
He's struggling, man. He's struggling. I think he went a bit punch drunk at some point during some of the practice sessions. Forgot where he was, you know, but he's surviving.
He normally goes home during the practice week.
Yeah,
he
doesn't show up until, you know, Fast Friday.
I think it was Townsend that announced there were 39 hours of practice.
He's been
coverage, and he wasn't even there.
No, he was there this year.
Here's the downside of every, you know, we've had all these accidents and moments and near moments. He screams every time something starts to happen.
Is that a downside or is it kind of cool? I think it adds something to the broadcast. I like it. I think it's cool.
Makes me look.
Look, yeah, people like giving us, all of us, you know, grief for when you just, every time. But let me put a microphone in front of you and put you in front of a live television watching Indy cars on track. And when a car spins, I would love to see your reaction. Because I got 9 out of 10 saying that. It's, well the same way we do it.
And you guys see an almost spin better than the rest of us do. We don't notice that. That's the deal.
We see some moments that, I tell you, they look so benign on television, but they are absolutely hard in the throw moments for the drivers and for us drivers on the outside watching. So it's, again, it's going to be a great show.
You've done enough talking. Thank you for coming out. You can join Hinch and I and friends like Ryan Hunter-Reay at a restaurant he is a partner in, Root and Bone in Broad Ripple.
Who's that?
On Friday night. You.
And who's the other guy?
Some guy that won the Indianapolis 500.
Never heard of him.
Yeah.
Never
heard of him. Champion.
I haven't got my Root and Bone gift card yet.
So
me neither.
Exactly.
I don't know if we have those.
We actually pay when we
go. We pay. I've never got it.
That's how you run a good business. You don't give things away. James Hinchcliffe, everybody. Former IndyCar race winner, Indianapolis 500 pole winner with NBC Sports. Look who else is here. It's Hollywood, everybody. Jack Harvey. Ryan Reinbold, Cusick Motorsports. The unnamed Ryan Hunter-Reay is also here. We've got everybody here. We've got the pole winner, Robert Schwartzman, is going to be up in a moment. But from AJ Foyt Racing, driving the famous number 14, courtesy of ABC Supply.
Up here with you.
Come on up. Come on up.
I want him up here with me.
Chevrolet Santino Ferrucci. And when you've won the Indianapolis 500, you get to skip the line and come immediately to the stage. Please welcome the driver of the number 23, Wetbush, Ryan Hunter-Reay, for Ryan Reinbold and Cusick Motorsports. Thanks, guys. Santino, how are you?
Oh, doing good. Obviously, today was a lot better than the first 3 days of practice. So kind of got the car sorted, dialed in, feeling good about things. Happy to be out here with the Burger Bash again this year. Figured we'd come up here and join you guys and bring Ryan up with me.
See you, buddy.
And you guys have worked together before, and you've spent a lot of time on the racetrack together before. How are you feeling at another chance to go for number two, Ryan?
You know, today it was great. I mean, we got through quite a few setup changes, race running, the whole thing, and then it really started getting pretty spicy at the end. I mean, there was a lot going on, a lot of, you know, comers and goers, guys coming out of the pits, and it started getting pretty hairy, and I think that's what the race is going to look like, honestly. I was running with Santino for a little bit. Man, you were sending it in four. You had a couple big push-off moments.
Yeah, I'm a little tight off.
Yeah,
we were trying to solve that. We haven't quite figured out the thing.
Yeah, I saw that, yep. So I was like, oh, where's this going?
I kept dialing in the front wing until I started to get loose on entry and still pushing off. So I was like,
it's a good combo.
Yeah, no.
Pushy-loose?
Loose-pushy.
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 That's a new one.
Yeah,
that's
that
weird.
Was a fun one. I was loose going into the apex, then I was pushing off, so told the guys to take that amount front wing back out again. And
that's awesome.
Back to the drawing board.
Loose pushy. I don't want loose pushy.
How does this car compare to, you've been through a couple of generations of Indy cars. What is this like to drive?
You know, when I got here, I first, you know, tried it in October with the setup that's worked for us in the past. It was the biggest step change reduction I've felt in this car, weight-wise, lack of grip. But right now, I'm in my window, my comfort window, but it just moves a lot more. It's just
come on, tell us how you really feel.
Everything is a lot more. There's just more movement. You know, yes, put more weight in the car, please.
Nothing like weight makes a race car go fast.
Right, right. So we need to stop putting weight in these race cars. But other than that, I mean, the good news is it's the same for everybody, right? Everybody has that weight, and you just have to work around it and make the most of it. So I think the race is going to be, it'll be interesting. I believe there'll be more cautions in this race, and it's going to be cooler than we've had.
Yeah, nice cool day. I think I broke it. I broke it.
It's just an on-out button.
No, it'll be a nice cool day. I think as everybody's seen with the hybrid, it's pretty easy to lose it now.
Yeah.
Quali trim was probably the scariest. I'm happy that that's done.
Me too.
I'm honestly kind of happy I didn't make the fast 12 and have to drive yesterday.
Yeah, same.
But
I was not disappointed, though.
Yeah, neither was I. I mean, I'm starting 15th on the outside of row, six or something, or seven? I don't even know.
I lose track after four. It's like, okay, you're back there. Somewhere.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I'm on the outside somewhere. I'm looking forward to it. So,
Did you win from, Ryan?
19th.
Exactly.
Yeah, Joseph and Will with their penalty to the back. I was on the outside, and I was like, oh, sweet, perfect. Now I'm on the inside. So I can't win.
Coming across three lanes is what I hear going into one.
Yeah, exactly.
So you'd rather be on the outside?
Always, yep.
He's one of the hardest people to pass. You know that?
I don't know.
Because he favors the outside.
You're
like
at the top of that list, man. What are you talking about?
I struggle with a couple of guys. You're one of them.
Yeah, you're right there, yeah, at the top.
Ryan, you were fifth today in the session. Are you better without the boost than you were in qualifying with the boost?
Okay.
Is it a little awkward, Kevin, holding the microphone?
Yeah, I just feel like he's labored.
We're one short. No, a host never gives up the mic.
You're a pro. Yeah, you know how to do this.
Yeah.
Yes, certainly better in race trim for us. The qual deal was just like we did everything. We trimmed as much as we could. It just would not go any quicker. I even ducked my head on the straight. It wouldn't go faster. So.
Like a go-kart.
Yes, exactly. And in race trim, it was much better just overall feeling and responding to changes. But there's a whole group. There's I think, like probably 17 cars that are decent. And we just have to see where it goes over a stint. The race conditions are right now calling for pretty cool. Yeah. And maybe cloudy. That changes a lot. When you don't factor in 120 degree track temp, it makes life a lot easier for everybody, unfortunately. But yeah, it's going to make it a bit sportier.
It's going to make some very interesting passes. It's been real late.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Mine or yours?
No, both. Well, mine, I feel like I've been passing really late. I've been trying not to. Yep. I've jumped on the brakes pretty hard a couple times. Timing of runs is so different now with the hybrid.
It is.
And it's, honestly, it's different. It's a different type of racing. I prefer it on the short ovals. I think you'd really like the car on the short ovals. I mean, this thing moves around. It's
really
fast. You can drive it in kind of how you want. The setup and the balance, I felt like, it's always been pretty good defined.
Yep.
So, like Milwaukee, I mean, the race racing in Milwaukee used to not be so great. This year was incredible.
Because of that slow move at the rear.
Big, heavy rear end sliding around.
Yep.
So got to throw a lot of sliders that day.
I can see that.
It's an engineering meeting here. We've turned it into an engineering meeting.
Yeah. Sorry.
Santino, real quick, mention what ABC Supply is doing for homes for our troops again.
Yeah, so for those of you out there, obviously our military is a big part of this country and the reason why we're here today. Homes for our Troops is a post 9/11 veterans charity for our disabled vets that are coming back from tour. They build their houses, help them get their life back on track, do all their financials, really give them a piece of that life that they lost out there fighting for our freedom. And, you know, if you want to donate, it's hfotusa.org. Or if you want to buy some of our merchandise, which I know can be kind of harder to find, it is on racingforveteransgear.com. It's also where you can buy our diecast. 100% of all of our proceeds are going to the charity. And we are trying to raise a goal of $4 million by May 31st. So
awesome.
I've seen a lot of people buying stuff and chipping in. And you know, honestly, it's pretty awesome. It's pretty cool to drive the red, white, and blue car. Obviously, this is Captain America. But it is cool for me to drive the red, white, and blue car on Memorial Day weekend and feel like Ryan. I just need a 500 win to join him.
We all want to be like Ryan.
And when Ryan's not driving 235 miles per hour, he's coaching youth football. When is minicamp?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, minicamp, we're always having these small practices and stuff.
Excellent.
Like it just it takes a lot to keep my competitive soul that I have here in check when I'm dealing with 8-year-olds and their parents. But yes. Yeah.
So
awesome.
Let me
interject
real quick.
There's my quarterback right
there. There's your quarterback.
Yeah.
So I asked him about
quarterback over here somewhere. There he is. Over there. Yep.
I know.
So I asked Ryan a few months ago, just real quick, about the football, and I expected a very softball response from him, like, you know, we're just gonna practice today, do some calisthenics, run a couple plays. The guy thought he was coaching the Dolphins. I could swore he was. He's into it.
Yeah, I'm not messing around.
Last thing, real quick.
No, we gotta go.
Oh, we gotta go.
Ryan Hunter Ray, Santino Ferrucci, everybody, thank you for coming out. I know he's gotta go too, so we wanna welcome.
Where's my teammate?
With some walk-up music. Landed back in the studio. Roll it if you can. It's Schwartzy. Robert Schwartzman, the pole winner, the first rookie pole winner since Teo Fabi in 1983. Brand new team. Racing. The number 83 car. Robert Schwartzman, congratulations.
Can't stop, won't stop, ooh, no levels. The promises, but I promise it, I never get. Yeah, a lot. Honestly, since the moment that I jumped out of the car, they just stick the camera right in. From that moment on until I think like 11, I was not having a break. Like, it was just nonstop. I haven't had dinner. I didn't even manage to come back to. Can I take it?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're allowed to do that.
Yeah, thanks.
Hey, by the way, did you notice that the sign here was red, green, and white at night now in honor of your team?
Oh, really?
Yes, the whole entrance.
That's super cool. Honestly, that's
super cool. Want to say hi real quick. We're like 10 minutes and Cameron is yelling at us, but we're running the show here. Jack Harvey is here. Thanks for coming up, Jack.
Thank you, everyone. What a drive this guy did yesterday. Pole, unbelievable, man. Great job.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for coming out. We get to hear a lot of Jack. I'm glad you came out. We're going to see you, I think, Friday night at Root and Bone. I bugged Jack. I stole his spotter's headset during practice today. Tried to surprise him just a little bit. It's not my fault you're named Hollywood, but it's stuck now. It's good. It's good. Yeah.
It's a terrible nickname, but you guys seem to like it, so I guess we'll lean into it. But, yeah, thank you.
Number 24, Dryan Reinbold, Cusick Motorsports, the Invest car. It's Jack Harvey. All right, Robert, real quick before we got to let you go. The car is massive fast. What can you do in the race? You've had some race running in practice today. How do you feel?
Well, yeah, it's a new experience for me. I think we step by step again trying to improve the car. Get some runs with Alex and Pato. I think it was overall pretty good. Just need to get a bit more of the, you know, feeling of the limitations, to get some knowledge. But we're working quite closely with Ryan about it, you know, just like trying to get all the tricks and tips about it. And we'll see how we're going to go. If the car is going to be as fast as it was in qualifying, then for sure I'm going to be battling and challenging myself until the end for the win.
Do you want to be conservative at all, or is it, no, I'm starting up front, I'm going to try to stay up front?
That's a thing that we still need to discuss as the strategy. How hard do I want to go from the beginning? And, you know, because obviously, you know, the race is going to be decided in, let's say, last 10 laps, maybe even last lap. So is there a point of, you know, going full attack at the beginning or just taking it easy? Just, you know, maybe, I don't know, if Takuma want to overtake, just stay behind him.
Takuma's going to want to overtake.
I know, yeah. Yeah.
And Pato.
Yeah, yeah. But we'll see. We'll see. I don't want to, you know, put everything to the limit from the beginning. I just want to have a smooth race. I want to finish it. And hopefully we're going to be there at the end, at the top, paddling. But yeah, you know, I've just, like, a couple of hours, I watched a video of Scott Dixon racing last year, you know, finishing third, just to analyze a bit how it looks. And, you know, it's quite a big challenge. Like, it's not easy. It's 200 laps and you're always at the limit. So, you know, qualifying is one thing, but now the race is another thing. So we'll do our best to do the best job as possible.
I know it's been a whirlwind the last 24 hours. Thank you so much for making a few minutes. Good luck on Sunday.
Thank you, guys. Thank
you. He is an F3 champion. He was on the path to Formula One, second in F2, and now we are so happy to have him in America. From Prema Racing, Robert Schwartzman, back with more. The Burger Bash, Gate 1 at IMS, delivered by Cluster Truck on the Fan.
Want to cut cooling bills without cutting comfort? Lower utility costs and enjoy cool and consistent comfort with a highly efficient air conditioner from Luxair. With Luxair's consumer rebate program, educators, nurses, first responders, military personnel, and veterans can enjoy exclusive rebates on qualifying purchases of Luxair equipment. To learn more, call Barry Smither at Blue Skies Comfort Air, 317-427-3479. They'll recommend a system tailored to your home that provides comfort, energy savings, and lasting performance.
Hey all, I'm Jamie Lynn Sigler, a mom, actor, and advocate. I know how overwhelming it can be trying to decide which treatment is right for you. I've been there. But you should know you're not alone. You can do this. Start with some research, talk to the community, and most importantly, don't be afraid to ask your doctor questions. You might find results that speak for themselves. That's how I landed on Kesimpta. Ask your doctor if Kesimpta, ofatumumab, could be right for you. You can check out the details at kesimpta.com.
This is Trackside, brought to you by Luxair Premium Residential Systems, a smart choice in home comfort, on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
The Hensley Legal Group Race Command Center is at 16th and Georgetown, or 16th in the roundabout, 16th in Crawfordsville. It's Gate 1 at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and it's the annual Burger Bash delivered by Cluster Truck. Hello, everybody. Give yourself a hand. And a round of applause for joining us. Firehawk is here, courtesy of Firestone. Thank you so much for making IndyCar race tires safe and keeping us safe on the road. My name is Kevin Lee. Kurt Cavan is here. I didn't mention Landon Koons is back in the studio as well. Let's bring up our next guest. We have two young drivers in the Indianapolis 500 joining us again. He is a regular at the Burger Bash. He keeps changing teams, but he keeps coming back to join us as well. He's Connor Daly's teammate with Hunkos Hollinger Racing. It's Stingray Rob in the number 77 car. You've got your own microphone right there. Welcome. And also, he's been waiting patiently. He has been rapidly improving. He is still just 20 years old, and he's in his second season. From Chip Ganassi Racing, the Journey Rewards car, it's Kiffin Simpson. And there's your microphone. How are you, Stingray? Whatever you like. You're tall enough. How are you? How was practice today?
I'm doing good. Practice was not so good, but that's okay.
You got another day to fix things.
Well, thankfully, yes.
Was it worse than what you were on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
Yes and no. I think that we've had an underlying issue in the car that wasn't in our quali car, and we had it get bad enough today that we were able to find it. So the problem's been found, everyone. Yes, thank you. Now we just need to find a solution. So if anyone has a solution in their pocket that you're willing to hand over, we need one.
You're willing to take engineering help from our crowd?
I'll take anything.
Wait a minute, we have a mechanical here.
We have a yellow.
You failed tech with the microphone, Kiffin Simpson. Let's try that. Let's see. Hello.
What did I do?
This is big time radio right here.
Test.
It works. Hello.
How are you, Kiffin?
I'm doing better now.
It's good. There's no on and off. Well, you hit that button and it came unplugged.
Ah, okay.
See, I told you this talking is hard. It's not just simple. You can't just hand it. You can't.
You got the special one without the wire, though.
Dude, well, there's still another button. I could hit that button and I'd go away.
Buttons are tough.
People might like.
Buttons are tough.
How was your day today?
I could agree with Stingray.
Really?
Not the best day. We're feeling the setback from that crash a little bit, so just trying to dial the new car in best we can and try to get it all ready for race day.
How do you guys do that? Come back so quickly from an oval crash. I would think the first thing is you want to know why. First, do you know why? Because sometimes people don't know why.
Know why we're...
Why? What happened?
Back?
Do you know why it stepped
why
out on
crashed?
You?
Yeah. We just... We missed a little bit on the aero calculations, and it meant that we just had quite a lot too much front grip. And I kind of felt it through turn three. And then I went a couple more clicks right on weight jacker to try to help it, and it just didn't really do anything for me. So, then we all saw what happened after that, and it wasn't a good time.
Well,
but the guys did a great job.
To your credit, you're not the only one, which is good. So I think that this is the trickiest the cars have been around this place in my many years of experience.
Which is more than Kiffin, so
yes,
that's fair.
Yeah,
it is more than me.
Yeah. I know it's not saying much, but it really has been challenging. And the conditions on that day, I know that you guys had... I looked at the crash. I saw what happened. I saw what setup you had on the car. And I was like, yeah, that was going to be tough. So glad you're okay.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, sometimes you miss, and we missed a little bit. So
that's all it takes.
Yeah.
I want to talk big picture with you, Kiffin. When you stepped up to IndyCar, I'm sure you heard of people saying, oh, this is a little bit too soon. He should do another year of Indy next. And one of the thoughts that I'm sure you and your advisors were thinking about, you're going to take your lumps. Whether you win the Indy next championship, finish fifth, whatever. Rookie seasons are tough. How much was that a part of the process? And the reason I'm asking that is because this year we are seeing, in year two, you are really quick here on the road course. Had you not had a mechanical, I think you had a real chance for a result. Both of you have had top tens and been in the mix so far this year. Is this kind of what you were envisioning and why you were willing to go through what was a challenging rookie season at times?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I was quite happy with how last year went as well. I felt like, other than qualifying in all the races, we were really, really solid, and we were able to pull together some really big results, even though even though the ultimate result wasn't there, we always had really strong pace in the races. And this year has just been a difficult year to kind of put a full weekend together, you know? Yeah. Like you mentioned last weekend at the Indy Road Course where we just, you know, we had a lot of pace, but in when it came down to pulling off the line at the green flag, we just had a mechanical and that was it for us. So we just got to put some good weekends together, and I think we're going to be really solid this year.
That was Long Beach where you both finished in the top 10, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Kurt, and I'm going to
No, I was going to ask Kiffin, you got two teammates that are both pretty sly, pretty experienced. Do they share? Do they come up to you? Which one is more likely to come up to you and say, you know, here's what I do? Which one? Scott Dixon or Alex Pillow?
The more likely one to come up to me and tell me their little feedback is Scott, for sure.
Okay.
But they're both very open.
I'm sure they are.
If I ask either of them, they're very open. Neither of them really want to come up to me and help me out, you know, as we all would. But they're very willing to help if I go and ask the question, you know? So you just have to be willing to ask dumb questions sometimes.
Does Scott approach things in kind of a dad voice? I mean, he's a father of three. Does he approach it in a dad voice?
It is kind of funny because he is actually old enough to be my dad as well. So, yeah, not really. I mean, he's got a lot more experience than me in these things, so he's got a different way of looking at it, but I wouldn't call it a dad voice.
I think it's fine to ask Alex Pillow as many questions as you want, because I'm told he did that with Jimmy Johnson and Dario Franchitti in his first year with the team. Still, that's why nobody can beat him, because he's getting input from everyone, even the people that he's beating. Stingray, I've talked to some people on your team this year, some people I trust, and the sense I get is that the Junco's Hollinger program has really taken a big step forward, and you with it. What are you seeing?
Yeah, no, they give that a round of applause, because they have. The team, it's been amazing. And to be honest, like I've been with this team before. I knew the passion that goes into the organization. I know why they've had success at every level. And it starts at the top. And Ricardo Juncos and Brad Hollinger, they've put the right people in the right place to do a good job. And the fact of the matter is it's still a very young team. I mean, 4 years full-time in this series, that's not very long. So there's still a lot of data to be gained, a lot of learning to do. But the experience that they have so far, I think it's a very steep trajectory. And the Long Beach result was a great indicator of that, and I feel more at home in IndyCar now than I ever felt, and I think a lot of that is due to the team. The atmosphere there, the input that they're willing to take from me, and also the belief they have in me. I think that people underestimate the value of the team's belief in a driver and the impact it can have on you mentally, because the thing is that nobody's here in IndyCar that shouldn't be here. They've all earned a right at some point or another in their careers. They've won races, won championships, and it's the little things that make a big difference. And to be honest, like, it's a very mental game. And so if you can get that mental edge, whether that starts in the engineering room or not, I'm going to take all that I can get. But I feel very happy to be where I'm at, and I think that we're going to have more good results throughout the year.
Kiffin, what do you expect on Sunday? What's realistic for you? What's your game plan?
First of all, I expect a good race, as always, you know. This track always brings a good race, brings a good show for the crowd, and I'm expecting a huge atmosphere as always. So I think on Sunday, from my side in the cockpit, it's going to be an interesting one. We're starting in a good spot, I think. We're going to try to move forward early and try to see if we can be in the fight at the end for the win, because that'd be incredible. But, you know, that's what we're here for. We're here to win the Indy 500, not just here to show up.
The number 8 car with Chip Ganassi Racing, Kiffin Simpson, the number 77 car, Junco's Hollinger Racing, Stingray Robb. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you. Good luck
on Sunday.
We'll
be back. Bob Pockris from Fox Sports is here from the Burger Bash, delivered by Cluster Truck at Gate 1 at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Want to cut cooling bills without cutting comfort? Lower utility costs and enjoy cool and consistent comfort with a highly efficient air conditioner from Luxair. With Luxair's consumer rebate program, educators, nurses, first responders, military personnel, and veterans can enjoy exclusive rebates on qualifying purchases of Luxair equipment. To learn more, call Barnes Brothers at 317-207-0778 or barnesindy.com. They'll recommend a system tailored to your home that provides comfort, energy savings, and lasting performance.
Hey all, I'm Jamie Lynn Sigler, a mom, actor, and advocate. I know how overwhelming it can be trying to decide which treatment is right for you. I've been there. But you should know you're not alone. You can do this. Start with some research, talk to the community, and most importantly, don't be afraid to ask your doctor questions. You might find results that speak for themselves. That's how I landed on Kesimpta. Ask your doctor if Kesimpta, ofatumumab, could be right for you. You can check out the details at kesimpta.com.
Wait.
You're listening to Trackside, brought to you by Luxair Premium Residential Systems, a smart choice in home comfort on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's Trackside with a little bit of mic feedback as we visit with, we're just kind of going through the auction items. Those are pretty cool. We're on 93.5, 107.5 The Fan, and we are less than a week away from the Indianapolis 500. Live right here on the radio, and also live on your television on Fox 59 in Indianapolis starting at 10 a.m.
Well, I thought we were now.
Live on Fox 59?
Yeah, so we were live on the radio and then live on Fox 59, and I was looking for, you know, any of the big celebrities on Fox.
You're confused. Hey, one of my teammates on Fox that does a lot of the work behind the scenes, I've said this for many, many years, he is indispensable to NASCAR fans, and his patience at answering questions on Twitter is something that the sport very much needs, and now we have him doing the same for us and keeping up whether he's here or at a NASCAR race. From FoxSports.com, Bob Pockrass is here. Hi, Bob. Step on up to the mic.
You know, he's an Indiana resident, or Indiana native.
Yeah, Park Tudor grad, 87.
Excellent.
Indiana University, 91.
So tell me your background. I knew you were from the area, and we've chatted about this before, but tell the audience your connections to this place and Indianapolis.
Well, I moved here from New Jersey when I was 10.
Okay.
And some friends were like, I met some neighborhood kids, and they were like, hey, let's go to the park and play ball. And I brought my baseball bat and my glove, and I realized I am in a different part of the country because everybody had basketballs with them. So I was like, oh, I've got something to learn. And so I learned about basketball and how important basketball was. And then within a couple months, our family visited the Speedway. I still have the tickets from the museum. It cost $1 to get in the museum back in 1979, and I was hooked.
How did you end up doing what you're doing? Was that always the plan? Did you go to journalism school?
Yeah, I was a journalism major at Indiana. Okay. And this is how I got my Indiana double started. My left butt cheek was chewed out by Bob Knight, and my right butt cheek was chewed out by Tony Stewart. And that was my journalism degree.
So you both have that in common, Kurt.
We do have that in common. I actually was in a fellowship program at the Indianapolis Star with Bob's brother, Steve, in 1987, while you were graduating from high school, and it was quite the experience.
Yeah, and so my first job at college was the Daytona paper, and that's where I learned about Daytona Speedway, and I learned that there are some tracks that don't have stands on the inside that are big, and so that was amazing to me. But when I moved to Indiana, or when I moved to Daytona from Indiana, every February on my answering machine, I'd say, I'm out at the world's second greatest speedway covering races. I was not going to say I'm at the best, because this place right here is the best.
That's it. It's been busy here for the last 28 hours or so. I've been dealing with some of it, trying to be a journalist on television. You're a real journalist, though. What do you make of what is happening? Is it done yet? And for those that don't know, and by the way, we'll get into this probably maybe in the second hour or tomorrow night on the studio show with the Penske cars. Failing tech yesterday, two of the three, and then two of the three being sent to the back. Is it over?
I don't think it's over as far as the garage is concerned. I think there's a lot of people who wonder, you know, just... There's still a lot of questions out there that I think the other owners want answered, but I think today was a good step in making a statement that, hey, even though they are Penske cars, that they're just not going to get a free ride.
Yeah. You were in there for the Doug Bowles press conference. I talked with him on television. That's an easier opportunity to really ask a lot of follow-ups with what you were doing. What he told me made a lot of sense. Did it? Is everyone kind of satisfied with what is being explained from the IndyCar side?
I mean, I think it makes sense in the sense of they passed on Saturday. They were the top 30 cars on Saturday, so they're in the race because that was kind of that was the rules of the day. But, you know, as kind of Will said on the broadcast, you know, they kind of went beyond their rules just to send them to the back. So could they have gone beyond their rules and do more? So I don't envy Doug in his position, but, you know, I think you know, to me, what's really difficult is how much of a performance advantage was this? What did it actually mean on the track? And, you know, and so how much of a penalty should there be?
I've had a couple of chief mechanics tell me they don't think it mattered that much. I've had others that have been in the sport a long time saying, oh, you bet it mattered. What have you heard from people in the garage you've talked to?
I've heard the same. And so you're trying to figure out
mixed.
Which
you've heard mixed?
I've heard mixed as well. And mixed from owners, too. You know, some owners are, well, I will say this. I think the owners are relatively unified that they, you know, that they have questions about procedures and questions moving forward on how they're going to keep a level playing field. I think that's the bigger concern going forward versus what, you know, what did they have on Saturday that could have been an advantage, or even what did they have a year ago that could have been an advantage.
You spent a lot of time, Bob Pockrass joins us from Fox Sports, a lot of time in the NASCAR garage. You've experienced what an event is like. How is this event? I think this is your first time to maybe cover it for an extended period of time. You've been here on many occasions. How is this, say, different than covering a Daytona 500?
I mean, this is an event where you see families in the stands, and they've been sitting in those seats for the last 70 years, and you see three generations and four generations of a family. You know, if you're from here, how many of you learned back home again in Indiana in elementary school like I did at Wyandotte? So when they sing it, it's a cultural experience. It's an emotional experience, and you don't have that anywhere else.
When do you sleep? You're always the first one in the media center. You're often the last to leave. You're answering Twitter questions when you go home. How do you have a life?
You try to carve it out, but this time of year is pretty busy, and don't take offense, Kevin, but sometimes I try to rewatch what we air because I'm in the garage running around.
I do too, yeah.
And so, and I put on time and a half, but sometimes at about 1 a.m, as much as I love your reports,
put you to sleep.
I might doze a little. I'm sorry. Okay.
That's okay. Bob Pockrass, everybody. He does fantastic
work. Right there.
You must follow him on social media. You will know what's going on in IndyCar, NASCAR, and his great in-depth reporting on FoxSports.com. Thank you, Bob. We've still got another hour to go. It's a two-hour show tonight on Trackside. We are at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and it is the Burger Bash delivered by Cluster Truck benefiting the IU Simon Comprehensive Cancer Center.
Want to cut cooling bills without cutting comfort? Lower utility costs and enjoy cool and consistent comfort with a highly efficient air conditioner from Luxair. With Luxair's consumer rebate program, educators, nurses, first responders, military personnel, and veterans can enjoy exclusive rebates on qualifying purchases of Luxair equipment. To learn more, call Barry Smither at Blue Skies Comfort Air, 317-427-3479. They'll recommend a system tailored to your home that provides comfort, energy savings, and lasting performance.
Hey all, I'm Jamie Lynn Sigler, a mom, actor, and advocate. I know how overwhelming it can be trying to decide which treatment is right for you. I've been there, but you should know you're not alone. You can do this. Start with some research, talk to the community, and most importantly, don't be afraid to ask your doctor questions. You might find results that speak for themselves. That's how I landed on Kesimpta. Ask your doctor if Kesimpta, ofatumumab, could be right for you. You can check out the details at kesimpta.com.
Enter.
This is Trackside, brought to you by Luxair Premium Residential Systems, a smart choice in home comfort, on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
It's hour two of the Burger Bash delivered by Cluster Truck. We are at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and it is, can we declare it, race week?
It is race week.
Race week. Sunday, airing live. Bring your actual radio to the track. That's better than listening digitally off your phone, because you're going to have a 45-second delay or so if you're trying to listen to a stream. So you need to find an old-fashioned Walkman and listen to 93.5, 107.5, maybe 93 WIBC. They generally air the race as well. But flip around, find it on your FM dial, and join us. And then when you go home, watch the race again. They'll still have the tape delay. Actually, just DVR it to make sure you don't miss anything. If you watch it later that day, it still counts in the ratings if you happen to be Nielsen rated. It is going to air live in Indianapolis, because we haven't talked since this.
Yeah.
The race is a sellout. Grandstand seats are virtually gone. There are still maybe a few in turn three. Check
singles.
In.
Singles. A lot of singles.
Yeah.
Well, not a lot of singles, but
some.
What's left are in a lot of cases, singles.
Still general admission walk up, so you can come and sit in the mounds and so forth and get in the infield, but seats are gone. We told you. Need to plan in advance, so that means if you can't go, some people just can't go, or don't want to deal with that kind of crowd, you can watch live on television. I think this is good for the future of the sport. I hope we can continue this.
You know, what is it, like five or six live broadcasts in the history of the race? There's
probably
not many, so that's really cool that, they went in from a staffing standpoint and said, we want to challenge the staff, we want to challenge the community, the race fans, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway fan club, if you will, to bring this back to 2016 standards from a ticket and grandstand standpoint, and interest and momentum and enthusiasm, and I think we've gotten there. One thing that's interesting, you said, is this the best week of the year? You know, it's a great week, but what are we going to do Thursday, Wednesday, and Tuesday? I need some action. You know, it just...
I believe I'm full. I believe
I
have
full,
plenty to
but
do.
We need race cars. We need race cars. So.
Well, there's probably a race car and a race going on. Go to your short track. There's plenty of stuff going on, including, I know, Friday night has the Carb Night Classic at IRP. Does Terre Haute still do something on Thursday? I'm sure there is something somewhere. Wednesday, what's Wednesday? Terre Haute's on Wednesday. Circle City Raceway
is on
Thursday, and somebody's racing somewhere on
Anderson
Tuesday.
Speedway.
And Kyle Larson is probably doing all of them.
Yeah, just follow Kyle Larson and see where he ends up. That's where you should end up.
How was Kyle today? I was wandering a lot. I didn't see anything on the track. I was in turn one stand. I was chasing your boss, Doug Bowles. I was doing a lot of different things.
I think he's certainly better than he's been the last few days. He's not been particularly happy, honestly. He's usually very expansive in his conversation, his explanations, but he's been a little quieter this time around, and I don't know really why that is. I compare it kind of how to Fernando Alonso's second time here. Just not as smooth. It didn't go quite as well for Fernando in the second year, which was 2 years later. Now, he missed the race. Take that out of it for a minute. But just the overall day-to-day, not quite as strong as the first time through.
I don't know if he has as many veteran teammates to lean on as he did last year. He has Pato O'Ward as his veteran teammate in that team at this point. And last year, he had other help, including Alexander Rossi. So who have we had here so far? Even before radio started, we had David Malukas. We've had Santino Ferrucci. We've had Stingray Rob. We've had Callum Ilott. We've had the guy who
sitter.
Won the pole, Robert Schwartzman. We've had Jack Harvey. We've had Ryan Hunter-Reay, Connor Daly, James Hinchcliffe. Who did I forget? Kiffin Simpson was just here.
So we've got Stingray.
We've done pretty well. And our next guest joining us is the person feeding us. So I feel like that's pretty important. The CEO of Cluster Truck, Janet Monroe, is back as our partner for the second year. Janet, thank you so much. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
So I had Connor explain this a little while ago, and he did a nice job. I think you'll do even better. Not everyone yet, we're working on it, knows exactly what Cluster Truck is. Explain it.
Well, we're a food delivery company that started here in Indianapolis with our first kitchen. We have five now. It's the fastest way to get food delivered to wherever you are. If you live in our zone, go onto our app or visit us at clustertruck.com. Place your order. We have over 100 options to choose from, and we'll be at your door very quickly as soon as it's ready at the kitchen.
I remember I was supposed to say walking up here to start this segment that we've reached the deadline if you want something delivered here before the show is over. So walk up there right now. We'll make that executive call. You've got another 30 seconds to get your order in if you want it delivered here. So that's fantastic. When are you going to get one of these in Hendricks County where I live? Can we work on that? Can somebody start a franchise? Because that's what it would take, right? You just need an entrepreneur to say, I want to be a Cluster Truck franchisee.
Exactly. We have a website up, ownaclustertruck.com. If you want to see a Cluster Truck in your community, all we need are entrepreneurs who want to open one up.
You have one where you live, don't you?
No, I'm just on the edge of it, yeah.
You're going to have to move again.
I know.
You've done that a lot. And you, again, know people that can get that done. Lydia Hohmeyer can do
it,
that here.
It
She's
actually
a real
kind
estate
of goes
agent.
Counter, though. We're involved with Club Pilates and Pilates and then, you know, the cheeseburgers.
But they have healthy things.
We need healthy things. What do you got?
And that's what is so cool is that you're in a group of people and nobody can agree on what they want to eat. It's one-stop shopping.
That's right. We have vegan, vegetarian, all sorts of options, gluten-free, paleo, whatever you're interested in, we have it. If you're being healthy, we have lots of salads and wraps. We're coming back with a Southwest wrap on June 1st. So that was a hit last summer.
And what are the areas in the Indianapolis area that we're focusing on?
We serve the downtown Indianapolis area. We also serve Broad Ripple, Castleton, Carmel, and Fishers.
All right, we've got the three burgers where you've graciously donated 20% of what it costs to the IU Simon Comprehensive Cancer Center, the Kevin Bowen Burger, host here on The Fan, the Connor Daly Burger, and the Jackson Lee Burger. Do you have a favorite? Have you tried them all?
I have tried them all. I do like the Connor Daly Burger. I like spicy. It's got pepper jack cheese on it and mushrooms.
It's fine. And I had the Kevin Bowen burger today, but I have had the Jackson Lee burger, but as I mentioned before, it might have been a little bit too messy. Thank you so much. And by the way, this goes through the end of the month, right?
It does. 20% of proceeds of the sales of these burgers go to the IU Simon Comprehensive Cancer Center.
And your logo is on Connor's helmet. If he wins the race, have you already negotiated, you get the helmet? Did you work that into the deal?
I hope so.
Good luck with that. Janet Monroe from Cluster Truck, thank you so much for being a part. And they have provided the food for our VIP section. When we do this next year, if you want to know how that works, how you get inside the VIP zone, we sell tickets for $125, and it all goes to the Cancer Center because Cluster Truck donated their food. And the Even Keel Company, they donated, basically, they bought the bar. They donated the drinks. So they do logistics and technical things for meetings and different types of events. I'm not talking necessarily events like this, but say you're doing a presentation, a corporate presentation, and you need the IT to work, you need everything to go as well. The Even Keel Company can take care of you for that. All right, what's next? We want to talk about qualifying next and our biggest surprises of the day?
Well, there was, you know, I don't know how many scenarios you could have come up with to have Robert Schwartzman, Takuma Sato in a one-off. By the way, I started looking up the last time a true one-off qualified on the front row. It's been, I really had to go back.
Townsend qualified fourth one year.
He wasn't on the front row.
No,
that's right.
I'm trying to
the
think.
Closest I can come up with is Tom Knapp's team in 1998 put Greg Ray in the second spot.
Okay.
That's about as close to a one-off. Robbie Buell in 2002 was a full-time team with Ryan Reinbold, but he had been hurt two races prior and hadn't raced for a couple races, so he was coming back to the Speedway, coming back to the cockpit. So in 2002, that's not really the same kind of thing.
But honestly, I still want to know in a combined series before IRL and CART.
I get it.
Have you found that yet?
No.
Who's got that? Last time a one-off made the front row for the Indianapolis 500.
Yeah, it goes back. And the pole sitter not just goes back to Teo Fabi winning the pole as a rookie in 1983.
It's only happened now three times that a rookie has sat on the pole, earned the pole. Tony Stewart elevated to the pole in 1996. But in 1950 was the last time Walt Faulkner won the pole as a rookie. And it's only happened like five times in history.
Wow.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
So that's surprising from that standpoint. You know, when we talked leading into the month, at any time when you're saying, all right, who's most likely to be among the four that are going for the final three spots, you know, you look at rookies, you look at teams that haven't been super fast, and honestly, everybody probably had Jacob Abel on the list. And maybe next most likely was
Robert Schwartzman.
Robert Schwartzman, the guy who won the poll, because Robert hasn't been able to generally get on the track because he was either on fire, the radio didn't work, the car didn't work. They missed most of the first day of practice here. To think that this team put this together and a driver that had never done an oval before won the pole and had to qualify three different times to do it. It's not just that he got great conditions and had a big lap. He did it on Saturday. He did it middle of the afternoon on Sunday. He did it on Sunday evening. Not the fastest each of those times, but he was close. He was sixth or whatever in the other two runs before he went fastest.
I came to the conclusion that I haven't been this surprised by a qualifying session since Danica went out in 2005 as a first-timer at the Speedway and qualified fourth and nearly crashed in turn one on her first lap. Mm-hmm. I was surprised how well she ran that day. Now, the Honda was better than everybody else, than the other manufacturer that day, and no offense to Danica, but that was a good year to have a Honda. Mm-hmm. But to qualify fourth was kind of that level of surprise. But this one, never saw it coming, ever.
So going to the back, there's nothing Jacob Abel could do. He was flat all the time. The car just wasn't fast. Same team missed the race last year, so that isn't a super shocker. I know Jacob's not rooting for this, but what works in his favor, how good's Rinus VK here?
Yeah, he's
top
really good.
Top seven qualifier all 5 years. He was the only one that was he was just barely faster. So that shows they still have some work to do. Just like always, if you have a crash, even if you're pretty quick, that's how Marcus Armstrong ended up back there.
Yeah.
Then Marco Andretti just hasn't been very quick, so...
Yeah, we said going into the month, if somebody had a problem like Marcus Armstrong had, they would be back in the back four. There would be a surprise. I think I was most surprised that Rinus VK was back there. I didn't think he'd qualify in the top seven, but I did think he was probably, I don't know,
15
16,
to 20
17,
or,
yeah. Something like that. I'm surprised that that he couldn't help elevate them to the necessary level.
So maybe you noticed something I didn't as I'm chasing interviews and things during the day on Saturday. I really thought, not only I thought, but he told me and he told others that his car was good and he was a pole contender. What happened to Kyle Kirkwood? We know what happened to Colton Herta. He hit the wall. That's going to change things. We'll get to that in a second. But I thought Kirkwood was a slam dunk for the top 10-ish.
Kirkwood thought he was a slam dunk for the top 10. In fact, he basically said, I should be the favorite. Now, maybe what happened to him is the same thing that, I was trying to get to with Ryan Hunter-Reay. Ryan Hunter-Reay and Jack Harvey weren't great when the boost went up. They just weren't. Mm-hmm. And they qualified what? And I've lost track of numbers because they're now two cars that have been
27,
removed.
28.
27, 28, and they're right there together. But today, when the boost comes down to the race level, they're fourth and fifth on the speed chart. And they were up there on Thursday, but not on Friday when the boost went up. So that was one that surprised me, and maybe that was similar in Kirkwood's case, or maybe he just had a bad lap, but it wasn't worth going back out. But Kirkwood will be one to watch in the race. Obviously, we're going to watch those two cars in the back. Would love to ask some people, and I probably will before the week's over, how quickly you would expect Joseph and Will to be in the mix. And I think the one thing going in their favor is, and I don't know what the number is, but we should set an over-under for how many cautions we'll have. And I bet it's 5.5. I'm going to start with 5.5. And that would help those two get to the front, assuming that doesn't happen on a first lap and they're collected. That's the danger for them. They are now back in the mess.
Here's one of the questions. You have to set up the car differently to run through traffic. And we've seen this before. When someone who starts up front ends up, because of a slow pit stop or whatever, ends up in the middle, the car might be really, really bad because it's not. They can do some adjustments on a pit stop, but they can't make big changes. Can they set up the car to allow him to drive through the field? And then, if and when he gets to the front, to be fast enough to win that back and forth battle that they're going to have at the end.
You know, if they ends up, if Joseph were to get up there, for example, and ends up in a battle with Pato, who has set up his car differently because he expects to be in the front, is that outcome different this time for Pato's sake?
Let's see, up front. I was surprised, going back to surprises, I thought, especially when the Penske's were out, Pillow was going to win the pole. I have not talked to the team. Sometimes it's, I think they felt like, and I think I said this on the air, they were telling Dixon he didn't shift quite the way we thought he should have. But Dixon wasn't quite fast enough either. Sixth and fourth. Still plenty good enough.
Yeah, but as soon as they take the boost away, Pillow goes right to the top.
Still the best car.
I think he's got the best car. Will he win the race? You know, he's had, as we've talked about on several occasions, he's had several incidents over the years that have restricted him from getting to victory lane.
When we get to our tiers later in the week, you know, I started before the month began saying Pillow is my only one in the top tier, and then I have the Penske's, Pato in the next tier. You know, I'm going to eliminate Power and Newgarden. They're tier two, but they've been doing this for a while, and no one's ever won beyond 29th. So,
and I think
that'd be a way to go three in a row if you can 20, win from the back
basically
row.
Basically 26th if you kind of get to some of the modern era. But
yeah,
you know, Ryan Hunter-Reay coming from 19th, that was pretty rare. So you're just not going to have...
And Newgarden was, what, 16th, 17th the first year that he won 2 years ago?
Yeah, 17th.
He wasn't 17th. Super up front. So I think that while this has been an interesting day or so, it is going to make the race more entertaining. You're going to have two really fast cars coming from the back. I don't know that Power is awesome. I think he's good. But Newgarden's car is awesome.
Yeah, I think it's Pillow, Newgarden, and then Pato's going to be good in the race. You just know that. But Dixon may surprise still. But I think it's Pato. I think it's Pillow and Newgarden. This Pato, Sato, Pillow, Pato, all these words start to kind of sound the same, and they sometimes come out inappropriately. I mean, not as I intended them.
I would have liked McLaughlin a lot better starting a couple of rows ahead. I think really highly of his oval skills. He's starting 10th, so that's a little bit tougher. I still give him a pretty strong chance. I know you don't.
I don't, and Scott may be one of my favorite individuals in this field. I just don't know if he's ready to win the Indy 500. And I hope he's not listening.
He's hitting golf balls right now.
Yeah.
I would hope. So did you see I had to hit golf balls on television the other day?
No.
That is daunting.
Where at?
Right
on,
here.
On number seven?
On number seven. So the idea was, because again, we have 39 hours of television to fill this
you
week.
You do. Townsend doesn't.
No, he does too. He does. It's all hands on deck. They've been great. We all get like an hour and a half break a day because that is what has been different. In the past, it was me, Hinch, and Georgia or Dylan Welch, you know, kind of doing pits and me and Hinch in the booth, and it was four people. Here we've had six the whole week. So we're just trying to do unique things. Like one of the things I did was go to the museum and I suggested, hey, let's bring over Mario. Let's see if he'll do it. He did. So I'd go back to Thursday's DVR right at 4 o'clock on FS1, Mario back in the museum. on Wednesday, or maybe that was Friday, one of the days, they all run together, Wednesday or Thursday, they said, hey, go out to a par three, and we're going to have you hit some balls live on television and talk about the golf course a little bit. And right at that time, the CEO of Fox, Eric Shanks, who I think I was talking about during a commercial break off air, who I have been amazed with. This guy is one of the most influential people in sports. Not sports television, in sports. When you run a network, one of the big fours, he is very influential with the NFL and Major League Baseball. They have the Super Bowl, the World Series, the Daytona 500, the Indy 500, World Cup, so on and so forth. And he loves the Indy 500. This is his passion project. That's why you're going to see so many people and so much emphasis and so many resources put into this race and IndyCar in general. So I should be quite intimidated by Eric, but he's just one of the guys. And he's been at virtually every race all season, and he hears what we're doing, and he says, oh, Kevin, I'm going to come along with you. So, oh, I'm going to go hit golf balls with Eric. And so he hits a couple, and then we decide, I can't hit with that headset on and the big belt pack. You just can't swing. The headset's going to fall off.
I've seen your golf swing.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have you hit live on television and see if you can match how I did. So we actually took the pack off, and I hit three balls. The first one, it was 170, crosswind. That's a tougher hole. Like pin high, a little bit to the left. Not bad. Looked good. They couldn't see. Second one, horrible. You know, I chunked it. Third one, it looked like it was going to be in the hole. And from our vantage point, it looked 4 feet. We got up there, it was 40, but whatever. From when we hit it, it looked great, and I had performed in front of the boss, so I felt good, and we walked down, and then they have me doing the putt live on television with the headset on and everything, and that's nerve-wracking. And, of course, Scott McLaughlin is sitting in the bus and loves golf, and he's giving me grief about not hitting the putt. But anyway, I told him there's more pressure on me, in my mind, than him going 240 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Roundabout way is I still like McLaughlin's chances to win. You got Simon Pagenaud in your corner, his Yoda, Rick Mears starting up front in a Penske car. I feel he's still got a good chance.
Yeah, he's going to be good. I just don't know if he can win the race. By the way, my par three, number seven hole. So the NASCAR guys are all here in 1 year, probably 99 or 2000. It must have been about 99 because I've got Dale Jarrett on my team and somebody else, maybe Rusty. And I've got a hit, and there's probably 70 people standing. It's the closest I've been to the hole. I've not been on the green since.
All right,
so I did do it once.
Coming up in a moment, if you're in the audience, you don't have to hit the Xbox or Twitter. You can simply walk up and ask the question. And we're going to tell you more about the cause and why we're here and much more. It's the Burger Bash delivered by Cluster Truck. We're at Gate 1 at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on the Fan.
Want to cut cooling bills without cutting comfort? Lower utility costs and enjoy cool and consistent comfort with a highly efficient air conditioner from Luxair. With Luxair's consumer rebate program, educators, nurses, first responders, military personnel, and veterans can enjoy exclusive rebates on qualifying purchases of Luxair equipment. To learn more, call Barnes Brothers at 317-207-0778 or barnesindy.com. They'll recommend a system tailored to your home that provides comfort, energy savings, and lasting performance.
Hey all, I'm Jamie Lynn Sigler, a mom, actor, and advocate. I know how overwhelming it can be trying to decide which treatment is right for you. I've been there. But you should know you're not alone. You can do this. Start with some research, talk to the community, and most importantly, don't be afraid to ask your doctor questions. You might find results that speak for themselves. That's how I landed on Kesimpta. Ask your doctor if Kesimpta, ofatumumab, could be right for you. You can check out the details at kesimpta.com.
You're listening to Trackside, brought to you by Luxair Premium Residential Systems, a smart choice in home comfort on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
We're back at the Burger Bash, delivered by Cluster Truck at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. While you were away to the live audience, Kurt Cavan was explaining exactly how everything went down with two of the Penske cars getting disqualified, what's going to be next, and who's going to have to answer for it. Oh, actually, no, he didn't have a lot to say.
No, I did, but it's all off the air, so you can't prove it.
I think we may have to revisit this. You're going to need to listen to the podcast. I'm going to actually make an appearance on the radio show I co-host tomorrow night. I don't know if they're... I think I'm doing tomorrow night. Is that right?
I hope so.
Yeah, we'll do tomorrow night, and we'll discuss this a little bit more. But our next guest on the program, I want to welcome, and this person, if you like this event, I think this is the person, other than Kurt, who started it from the beginning, but when it was resurrected, there was a person who had attended Burger Bashes in the past and had donated, supporting our local charities, and suggested a few years ago. I work at the IU Simon Cancer Center. I think this might be a good vehicle to let people know about the resource that our community has, and I think we can do some good things together. Dr. Nasser Hanna is here. He's also a part of End Lung Cancer Now, and I'm going to let him explain what the mission is there and what this great mobile unit is doing for our community. Most importantly, Dr. Nasser Hanna is a diehard Indy 500 and IndyCar fan. Welcome.
Thanks, Kevin. Absolutely. And how does it feel to be at the world's greatest racetrack for the world's greatest race? This is the place to be.
Where do you sit?
Well, we're in the suites this year.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yes. you found a hookup. Yeah.
But, you know, we've been slowly making our way towards turn one. It's not easy to get there.
Yeah.
But we're between turn one and turn two. It's they're great seats. But I've given those tickets away, and I'm going to be in the suites. Once you've been in those suites tickets, it's hard not to be in those.
Having refreshments and an indoor bathroom and the things like that, yeah, they are very hard to give up. They're getting priced. These days, though, so yeah, that's part of it, and that's good. That's why this is the biggest race in the world. Okay, tell me about the mission with End Lung Cancer Now.
You know, the mission is, just as the cause is titled, it's to end lung cancer now. I'm a medical oncologist. Most of my practice over 25 years has been in the area of lung cancer, and so I've been dedicated to that and started an organization called End Lung Cancer Now. It's part of the Simon Cancer Center. Many of you may have been touched by somebody with cancer, and many of you may have been touched by somebody with lung cancer. So really, the vision is to end the suffering from lung cancer, and that mobile truck right over there goes into the communities, particularly in the rural counties, where lung cancer causes a lot of devastation. And so we're helping to bring the screening to these communities, trying to save some lives.
And by the way, if you're listening on the podcast or listening on the radio tonight, that mobile unit is going to be at Indianapolis Raceway Park on Friday night. So come
all
on
day.
Out and watch USF 2000, USF Pro 2000, and it's the Hoosier 100, right, with midgets? Yeah, on Friday night. So this is a great night of racing, and you can... Tell me how you can get signed up in advance or just walk up and learn more.
Well, you can walk up. We'll take your information. And if you're eligible to get one of those lung screenings, we'll make sure that you get your lung screenings. I'm excited about that, but I'm really excited about being in the Indianapolis 500 parade this year.
Really? So the mobile, are you driving?
Yes, I am driving. No.
No. I wouldn't want to drive.
You have to have a...
Dr. Kelvin Lee is driving. I know that's not true.
You have to have a CDL license to drive that thing. That thing weighs 52,000 pounds. So, no, I won't be driving it, but I will be walking in the parade along with about 50 others with our End Lung Cancer Now gear, raising awareness.
And I just gave my two cents earlier. You know, obviously there are a lot of contributing factors to lung cancer, but sometimes I'm sure you find cases where there are none. That's where something like that can help any of us.
Anyone with lungs can get lung cancer. And most importantly, no one deserves lung cancer. We just care about people who are suffering from this, and we want to prevent it. That's first and foremost, is to prevent cancer. If you can't prevent it, let's detect it as early as we possibly can to give you your best chance to beat the cancer and to live out your life as you should.
I may have asked, you may have given it. Website, best place to find information?
You can go to nlungcancernow.iu.edu. If you just Google N Lung Cancer Now, you'll find us. And I think it's kind of a catchy name, and that's where you go.
Thank you, Dr. Hanna.
Thank you.
Dr. Nasser Hanna, he is one of the superstars of his field. And we greatly appreciate having a cause to do this. Other people work really hard at this. We show up here and talk, and it's amazing. I think last year over $30,000 raised. We're working on the math. We're working on the app that allows us to collect payments for the auction, so it's a work in progress, but cool stuff. When does the auction close? Is it closed already? A few minutes, a little bit. 15 minutes, the auction will close, so check out the canvas prints, the bricks. Did we talk? That was off air. So thanks to Paul Dalby, who donated what might be
the only collection. When the Speedway was covered with bricks, there were 3.2 million bricks, and there were 11 different companies that supplied bricks. There is a brick, an era brick, meaning it came from that basic time period, from each of the 11 companies. It's probably the only collection of 11 bricks that exists today. So I'm surprised it exists, honestly, because it's one of those things very difficult to come by.
So a lot of cool stuff over there. Also, the Fox Sports Experience back in the compound, the TV booth on Saturday during the rehearsal, and also Legends Day. The autograph session is going on Saturday, and there are a lot of things back there.
This is not about me. It's about many of the people who have been to so many of these burger bashes. We're up to, I don't know what, this is 18 years of our radio show. We probably did the burger bash 15 times, 16 times. We missed a couple.
Yep.
I was busy in my job. You were busy in your job, and 2020 came up. But we've raised some years as much as $50,000, some years as low as $20,000. So if you average that out, you're talking about more than $500,000 have gone to charities as a result of the people who come to this event.
And what we like is it is still free. There's the VIP zone, the even-keel VIP zone, but it's still free. Just bring lawn chairs, and that's the way it should be. I want to mention some of the people that made this happen, because essentially what we've done is we've found corporate partners who have made donations. That allows us to donate more money to the Cancer Center. One of the big ones is Republic Airways. Is Amy Arnell here tonight? Hey, there's Amy. Hi, Amy. And of course, you just took a bite. You don't have to come up. I just wanted to recognize you and thank you for your support of the IU Simon Cancer Center and this event. She is a very important person. When we decided, all right, can we bring it across the street? Can we do this again? We need to find some way. You know, the stage costs some money. There are a few things that are some expenses. And immediately, Amy's covers it and a little bit more with Republic Airways. I mentioned the Even Keel Company. They're picking up the tab for the VIPs tonight. The Even Keel Company does live event technical services as well. Cluster Truck, of course, providing the food, donations to the Cancer Center as well. Sport Court, back in the back, Sport Court of Indiana. If you'd like to get a really cool court that you would have liked to have had, I would have liked to have had as a kid. Now, you're a pickleball. You're still a candidate. You should get a pickleball court in your backyard, Kurt.
It's a nice idea.
It's a nice idea. We have somebody that can get you set up with that as well. Lydia Homeyer Realty, the UPS store, Stafford Road in Plainfield. They did all of our custom canvas prints that are signed, California Closets, Browning Chapman. Thank you to 107.5 The Fan, 93.5 The Fan as well, and everybody that's a part of this.
And don't forget Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Indianapolis Motor Speedway provided this setting. They'll help with teardown. Like, they have coordinated a lot of things. I don't think Ellen's still here. Ellen Saw is a executive with our company and has been here to support. This is important to the Speedway to do this. And Doug Bowles has put the blessing on it, so we wouldn't be here without them.
I was going to ask Doug to come today, but I think he's got some things to deal with. So
Did you hear him say, by the way, that not only did he not shower, because he was up all night worrying about this Penske situation. He did change suits, but he didn't even brush his hair.
So he looked good.
He looked a little ragged.
Yeah. It's a tough job. Yeah, yeah. Being the president of the Speedway was great. Now there are a lot more headaches to come around when you're running IndyCar as well. I also want to thank Aramark. Aramark is our beverage provider in our VIP zone, the Even Keel VIP zone. All right, let's get back to content here.
By the way, I've appreciated the east to west breeze tonight. I'm downwind of the Cluster Truck hamburgers. This is the Burger Bash, and I've got the fumes coming my direction. It's wonderful.
This might be the first Burger Bash where I've been able to have a burger before it started. And now I had one early enough, I'm going to have another when we finish. So that's worked out quite nicely.
Many people have heard this story, but we should have told it to Robert Schwartzman. The first Burger Bash, I invited one guest.
Mm-hmm.
He was the pole sitter, and I wasn't sure he'd come, but he did come.
He came to Plainfield.
He came to Plainfield and was there the whole show. That was Scott Dixon. He was a pole sitter, and he won the race. Yeah. The next year, I invited Dan Weldon. He was a main guy, and he came this close to winning the Indianapolis 500 that year.
He finished second.
Finished
the next
second.
2 years, and then won it. Did he finish second in 9 and 10?
He did. And he said, if I'd have won the Indy 500 in 2009, that the Burger Bash would have had every driver the next year. So
yeah,
we should have told Robert that. Burger Bash has a history with the pole sitter winning the race.
All right, so we'll get back to the big topic. We'll talk more about it tomorrow night. I still don't know the best way to summarize what has happened. So I'll tell you the story from, I don't know if I was the first one, but I'm standing back in the garage. We went on Fox on Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock for the beginning of the Fast 12 shootout. And I'm standing by the Penske garage because I want to find Tim Cindric simply to give me a note I can use. How's Joseph Newgarden's car? How was the practice? So on and so forth. And as I'm walking up, I notice he walks into between the areas where the bathrooms are. And I think, oh, he'll be back in just a second. He doesn't come back. And I'm okay, maybe he just walked out to the pit lane. And I walk around, I'm chatting with somebody else, and he comes maybe almost running through and doesn't really stop and keeps going. Well, that's odd. I walk out to pit lane, and I see a lot of activity. And they're thrashing on the back of Joe Newgarden's car, and I think, oh, they've got a mechanical problem, gearbox problem or something. They're
this
working.
Saturday or Sunday?
This was, I'm sorry, yesterday. Yesterday
yeah,
afternoon.
Sunday.
Yesterday afternoon. So what's going on? And then I'm reminded by someone that owns a team that's standing nearby, they can't do that. They cannot work on the car here on the pit lane because they've already rolled through tech. So I go to look for IndyCar's technical director, Kevin Blanche, and luckily he's standing next to Dave First, who is vice president of communications, grand poobah of talking points. That's a title that also works. And I say, you know, this is probably going to need to go through Dave, but what's going on? Are they allowed to do that? So no comment. It's a straight arm. It's okay, something serious. I go to Kyle Moyer, team manager at Penske. Always is helpful. Just shakes his head. Not now. Oh. Something's going on. And then, you know, I kind of asked some other people, all right, this is the attenuator. Why are they changing the attenuator? That's the structure on the back of the car that helps cushion blows when they back in to the wall. And then we eventually learn the whole story of what's going on. And then we're still uncertain about the timeline. I thought Doug Bowles did a great job last night. And by the way, he couldn't come on TV yesterday because I think his son was graduating from college. So he was a little late getting back, or he would have stood up and faced the music immediately. But I thought his explanation made sense. And here's the problem. So how long has that been illegal on the car? Now, whether there are different opinions on whether it helps or not, but the point is it's illegal and the car cannot run. So they caught it for this. The first answer was, well, how did it get out on the line? How do you let a car, did it pass tech? Did it not pass tech? I am confident, I do believe that sometimes they let a car go through and say, you're not fully clear yet. We're going to continue to look into this, but we can't back up the line. The other thing is there's probably not enough people. You know, they could probably use some more people helping out with tech, and they don't look at everything. The team is responsible for their car being legal after qualifying or after the race. So sometimes things get through pre-race or pre-qualifying tech and then might be disqualified afterwards. You are responsible for that. So, and that's apparently what they were even told. You can go ahead and run while we do some more research and give us some time. And as Tim Cindric said, well, we're not going to have them run if we think it's almost certain we're going to be disqualified. So that's why they were allowed out on the line. Simple there that they're not allowed to run. Not so simple deciding what to do today. That's a separate day. And logic would say that's how the cars were on Saturday. But that's done. I don't know what you do. But they did do something, I think in part because of the uproar in the paddock and with stakeholders was so much they felt like they had to kind of calm some things down. Let's face it, it is a different dynamic when the owner of the series is the owner of the team. Roger Penske may not be running the team, but he owns the series, and it is just an uncomfortable situation for all those involved, and I don't wish that on anyone to know how to deal with that. I don't think the drivers would have known about this, but bottom line, it's breaking the rules. They're fortunate they are running the race.
They probably
but I don't know how you take them out of the race because you can't prove. Maybe they can. Maybe they can go back and find pictures that show that was on the car. But where does the statute of limitations end?
Yeah.
Now, it didn't end at St. Pete last year. You know, we found that out 2 months later, and it was still determined that there were going to be penalties.
They did say, by the way, that Scott McLaughlin's car, they had the wing and the attenuator from the crash, and it was proper. By the way, I love it, the fact that Kevin and I always come at this, or have for 18 years. We come at stories, and then we tell stories differently. So here I am. I'll recreate just a minute. I'm walking up pit lane. There's a gentleman standing here. I won't tell you his name. He's a team owner of a very good team. He's got a white shirt on and an orange hat, and he's had a few hot dogs.
Might he have talked to me as well?
Here's what he does. So we'll switch spots.
Uh-huh.
Now I'm the guy, very young, attractive man with the orange hat on and the white shirt. Come walking this way. Look at that!
Because you know exactly how the fill and the crease should be on the attenuator, right? Because you would have spotted that in an instant. That's the thing. This has probably been on there forever, and no one has noticed.
So that man was very agitated. I stood there. And by the way, you don't have conversations with that man.
You listen.
He speaks to you.
Yeah.
Not usually in a very polite voice. Not usually the words you might like to hear. But he was very authoritative. And I believed him because I had no choice. And so he went through his explanation about having things changed. Now, I just expected that changing anything but the rear wing or the wings and the tire pressures, the fact that they were changing something.
That's what I don't get. Why they even bothered trying to take that off. Once you've done that, you're done.
Yeah.
And then it called attention to it.
Yeah, it did. And,
then
Pato Award said, well, they must have known what they were doing. They had a blowtorch out there.
Yeah.
I didn't see a blowtorch. Honestly, I stood there for a little bit. Maybe you did.
They had like a grinder, yeah.
Yeah,
they had some tools.
They had some tools.
Right. In a moment and tomorrow night as well. We'll wrap up the Burger Bash next.
Want to cut cooling bills without cutting comfort? Lower utility costs and enjoy cool and consistent comfort with a highly efficient air conditioner from Luxair. With Luxair's consumer rebate program, educators, nurses, first responders, military personnel, and veterans can enjoy exclusive rebates on qualifying purchases of Luxair equipment. To learn more, call Barry Smither at Blue Skies Comfort Air, 317-427-3479. They'll recommend a system tailored to your home that provides comfort, energy savings, and lasting performance.
Hey all, I'm Jamie Lynn Sigler, a mom, actor, and advocate. I know how overwhelming it can be trying to decide which treatment is right for you. I've been there. But you should know you're not alone. You can do this. Start with some research, talk to the community, and most importantly, don't be afraid to ask your doctor questions. You might find results that speak for themselves. That's how I landed on Kesimpta. Ask your doctor if Kesimpta, ofatumumab, could be right for you. You can check out the details at kesimpta.com.
This is Trackside, brought to you by Lux Air Premium Residential Systems, a smart choice in home comfort, on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
And we're at the Hensley Legal Group Race Command Center, which is the Indianapolis Motor Speedway tonight, for the Burger Bash delivered by Cluster Truck. It's race week, everyone. Before we finish, a couple of thank yous. Cameron Blankenship, Mike West, Cameron from, and thank you to 107.5 The Fan and Radio 1 for donating the airtime and sending Cameron out to handle things. Thanks to Mrs. Lee, Stacy Lee, for doing all the work while I just stand up here and yammer. I mentioned the Vice President of the Burger Bash, Mark Lynch. Thanks so much to him. Thanks to Kurt for the original idea. And Dr. Kelvin Lee, we are benefiting the IU Simon Comprehensive Cancer Center, back supporting. I think you've been with us for this event for three years now.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Real quick, just what's the message that you want to send to Indianapolis about the asset that we have?
All right. First, I want to say that it's great to be back. Kevin and I are brothers. Actually, I signed his name for all the auction items over there, Kevin.
You got my credit card.
Yes, exactly. Stacy's not going to be happy with it. Thank you, Stacy and Jackson, for helping. Thank you for all the End Lung Cancer Now folks and the Simon Comprehensive Cancer folks for being here. It's been fabulous. And thank you for all the sponsors. Cluster Truck, I am glad I said that correctly. It was a question if I was actually going to be able to do that. But I think that it's great seeing everybody here. It's great being part of this community. 4 years ago, as Kevin knows, when I came to Indianapolis, I came from Buffalo. Buffalo, we know the Bills and hockey. Never been on, yep, we got a Bills fan, go Bills. And never been on a racetrack before. Kevin dragged me out to a racetrack and I said, this is so cool. And that was such an exciting part of being a part of this community. And now I actually know what the greatest spectacle in racing actually means. I'm wearing my Arrow McLaren socks. And I think this is, May is one of the most fabulous months in this state. So I think it's wonderful. Now, we are so happy that everybody is out here supporting the IU Simon Comprehensive Cancer Center, including our End Lung Cancer Now team. One example of what they are doing. Dr. Hanna talked about the mobile truck, CT screening. There are 110,000 Hoosiers that are eligible to get lung cancer screening that are not getting it because it's hard to drive to a hospital if you live in a rural community. It's soybean harvest season. You're not going to be able to get out there and wait for 2 hours in line. This truck takes it out there. But what does 110,000 people mean? Somewhere between 5 and 20% of those people have a curable lung cancer that they don't know about. So 5,000 to 20,000 people, Hoosiers, have a curable lung cancer they don't know about. That truck is going to save their lives. And that's what you guys have all supported to make this happen.
Thank you. Thank you to Dr. Kelvin Lee. Kurt, thank you. We're back tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, Beyond the Bricks with Jake and Mike coming up next. 93.5, 107.5, The Fan.
Test, test, check, 1, 2. You know you need Unique New York. You know you need Unique New York. Does that sound all right? Ah, that's better. You can always tell something's missing when you get isolated results. Like AI that's only right for one of your systems. Get AI that can work across your data and applications. Learn more at IBM.com. The AI built for business. IBM.